The first ever randomized controlled clinical trial to test a dietary intervention in the treatment of clinical depression has just been published. I'm Dr. Drew Ramsey. I'm an assistant clinical professor of psychiatry at Columbia University, and I'm reporting for Medscape Psychiatry. I'm excited to share the results of this very interesting study with you. Two researchers, Felice Jacka and Michael Burke, led a group, a consortium of Australian institutions based at the Food and Mood Centre at Deakin University in Victoria, Australia. Over 3 years, they recruited several hundred patients and entered 67 into a 12-week parallel group trial in which one group got dietary counseling. They had 60-minute sessions, seven of them, in which individuals were implored to increase the consumption of 12 different food categories, the food categories that you would guess, more whole grains, fruits, vegetables, nuts and legumes, focusing on lean meats and chicken, and certainly more seafood, and to decrease the consumption of the foods that are correlated with an increased risk of depression. These are empty carbohydrates, refined starches, highly processed foods. Over the last decade, a mountain of evidence has been building that our dietary pattern is strongly correlated with our risk of depression, but we haven't had a randomized controlled trial like this to really direct our clinical care. The outcome was quite robust. The researchers found that overall between the two groups, there was a statistically significant difference, a 7.1 point difference on the MADRS scale, which was their primary outcome. And the researchers extrapolated that there was a 2.2 point reduction of the MADRS for every 10% adherence to the healthier dietary pattern, which the researchers were proposing. They found that pattern called the modified Mediterranean diet, or the MADI-MEDI diet, by combining the recommendations from the Australian government, from the Greek government, as well as from the analysis that Felice Jacka and her colleagues had done, looking at all of the data and determining what dietary factors played the largest role in terms of fighting depression with food. That was published in 2015 in Nutritional Neuroscience. The interesting part of the study was the number needed to treat, just 4.1. And when we think about adjunctive treatments, because this was a population of patients with depression, of the 67 people who were enrolled, all but nine were in an active treatment, either psychotherapy, medications, or both. And the augmentation was quite robust in terms of its effect. In the treatment group, about 32% of patients achieved remission, while in the control group, which was a supportive therapy, a befriending protocol of being supportive and a good friend, that just had 8% of people remit. When we compare this to other adjunctive treatments, for example, looking at aripiprazole and the data that was presented from two pooled analyses by Dr. Michael Thace and Dr. Robert Berman. For aripiprazole, they found that the number needed to treat was 10. And so in terms of thinking of risk and benefit profiles, a dietary intervention is emerging as a very safe and very efficacious way for us to engage our patients. As we know in our nutritional psychiatry clinic here in New York, it's a great way to get a conversation going about aspects of a patient's lives that we traditionally don't ask about. When you think about all of the information we get around food and how people care for themselves, it becomes an intervention that helps build a very strong alliance, but it's also just a lot of fun talking about lentil soup and where people get their seafood, and focusing overall on the food categories that individuals need to improve. And overall, these tend to be leafy greens, rainbow vegetables, a variety of seafood, improving the quality of their meat and consumption. And then, as the researchers note, decreasing the consumption of foods that increase the risk of depression as well as other disorders. One question often asked about eating for brain health is the cost, as oftentimes you recommend seafood and organic food, which can cost more. But the Australian researchers had a great finding, which was that eating for brain health costs less. The average Australian spends $138 a week on their food. Those who were taking part in the study spent just $112. Well, the study's called the SMILE study, and that makes me smile. SMILE stands for Supporting Modification of Lifestyle in Lower Emotional States. For those of you who are incorporating food and nutritional assessments into your clinical practice, this is more evidence that we're on the right track and that you're on the right track. It's not only an engaging and alliance-building conversation, it's a very efficacious intervention, one, of course, whose outcome we hope will be replicated. For those of you who have not incorporated nutritional and lifestyle assessment into your practice, this is a great opportunity to do so. Taking a peek at the paper will show you their methodology, which really revolves around doing a good dietary assessment. And I should note that the people who entered the trial had a poor dietary quality. And that's overall what we also see in our clinic. The individuals who have the best response to a brain food intervention are individuals who are eating a nutrient-depleted diet, one that is often called the beige diet or the 12-year-old boy diet by some of my patients, consisting of empty carbohydrates, pizza, pasta, baked goods, not a lot of the brain nutrients that we hope patients will seek out in their diet based on the mountain of data we've had, that certain nutrients such as the omega-3 fats, zinc, magnesium, iron, vitamin B12 are very effective in terms of preventing depression and are readily found if you choose the right core set of foods. These are the foods that make up traditional diets. These are the foods that are highly correlated with decreased risk of depression and dementia. And with their new randomized controlled clinical trial, they're a set of foods that look as if they can play a role in adjuncting your treatment of clinical depression and helping your patients achieve full remission. I'm Dr. Drew Ramsey from Medscape Psychiatry. Please let us know in the comments below what you think of the study and how you are incorporating food into your clinical practice.